Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people. Live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to continue our teaching on the truth about and understanding fear. The truth about and understanding fear. So if you found 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verse number 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So we see here that fear is a spirit, but God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, our last time together, we have began a new teaching on the subject of fear. Webster's New College Dictionary meaning of fear is simply of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence of nearness of danger, evil, terror, fright, or apprehension. The Bible also refers to fear as a profound reverence. That's what the Bible tells us what fear is. It is profound reverence, especially towards God. But in this teaching, as I stated last week, we will focus on the negative force of fear rather than the positive force of spiritual reverence. We need an understanding of the dictionary's definition of fear, as well as an understanding of what the Word of God, the Holy Bible, has to say on this subject. Traditionally, the natural man's thinking says fear is simply a strong feeling or emotion, and fear is an emotion. But according to biblical teaching, fear is also a spirit being. Our foundational scripture we use to open this teaching told us that God did not give us a spirit of fear. So biblically speaking, fear is a spirit which operates in the unseen spirit world. Yet, it is able to manifest itself or its activities in the physical world in which we live. Spirits, such as angels or demons, can be either good or bad. We must understand that fear is a legitimate emotion. God has given us natural emotions, and fear is a legitimate emotion. There is a real fear and a natural fear that is part of our human makeup. This fear is an emotional fear. It is there to alert the individual of a possible or impending harm so that the individual can protect him or herself as well as others from harm. I gave you the example of yourself crossing an intersection and you notice a car approaching you at a very high rate of speed. I guarantee the emotion of fear will be there. And what it will do is activate your natural fear to make you get away out of the way of the approaching car real fast. But natural fear is different from the type of fear that comes from the presence of a spirit. There are definite signs when a spirit of fear is present and trying to exert its dominance. We have to reason, or we have no reason, to be afraid of Satan and his demonic forces. For we have overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan uses his methods of stealing, killing, and destroying to attempt to instill fear on the Christian. But he's not going to do it. And let me tell you why. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And it says, and that's verse 4 that we're going to read, 1 John 4, 4. And it says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. So he that is in us, we're greater than he that is in this world. Amen. Don't allow Satan to cause fear to distract you by his evil ways, but resist him, submit to God, and he will flee from you. Remember, Satan has no legal right to attack you with fear, but he will if you allow him to. Now, our last time together, we were talking about how fear can rob us if we allow him to do so. So let's see how fear can rob us. Christians are protected from demonic powers, which according to the Bible walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom they might devour, particularly the Spirit of God. So go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 8. And it tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we see here, Satan walks around like a roaring lion. And the Bible calls him an adversary. And an adversary is somebody that you are in conflict with, that you are in war with. So we have an adversary that we have to understand that he walks around like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he's trying to deceive you as if he is. That is why it is so important for us to use our faith in the Word of God to maintain our freedom. This is where our victory in fighting the good fight of faith comes in. See, we fight the good fight of faith because we've already won. Jesus already took care of that for us. We just got to stand in faith. Amen. The devil, who is the enemy of all mankind, is always trying to steal the believer's faith, or at least render it ineffective. But Christians have a choice. Yes, we have a choice as to whether or not to accept his presence in our lives. That is what makes the good fight of faith good. Amen. If you are a Christian, you do not have to accept any of the things the devil and his demons may throw your way, because you can defeat them with God's word. See, it all starts with your mouth, by speaking words. Amen. Words are powerful. Please turn with me to the book of Proverbs 18. It all starts with your mouth. So Proverbs 18, we're going to read verse 21. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It says death and life are in the power of our tongues. So what we say is very powerful. And we have the authority by Almighty God to speak life to our lives and to defeat Satan. That's why it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are you going to do? You going to speak life or you going to speak death? Amen. Now go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at a classic example of how fear works against faith. It's a classic example, one of my favorite examples in the Bible. So Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 22 to 31. Very familiar passages. And it begins, immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now we see here Jesus went up on the mountain to pray by himself. See, sometimes you have to get away by yourself and pray. Amen. So the Holy Spirit can minister to you. Amen. Now, when evening came, he was there alone. Verse 24, it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So we see here the boat that the disciples were in was in the middle of the sea, and it's being tossed by the waves because the sea and the wind was very contrary. Verse 25, it says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, isn't that something? They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now let me read that again. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So we see here how faith robbed Peter at a moment of his faith. Fear entered him. But let's look at this. Let's analyze this situation. Here was the disciples. They were out in the middle of the sea. And the wind and the waves were very contrary, blowing, and winds were hitting up against the boat. And Jesus came walking to him. And then so Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to come out there." And Jesus says, "Come." Now, isn't this very interesting? Because in verse number 29, it says, "And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water." Let me read that again. It says, "And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water." Now, it's very interesting because when Peter stepped out of the boat, the wind was still blowing and the waves were still contrary. But it still said he walked on the water. So my thing is, why didn't he say, "Wait a minute, Lord," before he stepped out of the boat? Why didn't he say, "Wait a minute, Lord, you see the wind is still blowing and the waves are hitting up the boat. I can't come out there." He didn't do that. He immediately stepped out, and it says he walked on the water. Then in verse 30, it says, "And then when he saw the wind." Wait a minute. He didn't see the wind before he stepped out? He had to see the wind before he stepped out. No, what he did, he took his eyes off Jesus, off the main attraction. Jesus was the main attraction, you know, and his faith level in terms of walking to Jesus disappeared. If he had kept his eyes on Jesus, oh, man, no telling how this story would end up. Amen. He said, when Jesus told Peter to come, that implied two things. Number one, it implied that Peter had God's permission to defy the laws of nature by walking on water. Then number two, he had the ability to do so. So number one, he had permission. And number two, he had the ability. Now notice also that when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. The winds were still blowing, and the waves were still hitting up against the boat, but he still walked on the water. Now there's only two accounts that people ever walking on the water. That was Jesus and Peter. That we have historically people walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water, but he made the mistake of taking his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves. He started looking at the circumstances. But he had to notice the circumstances before he stepped out. He had to have the faith to step out. But why did he take his eyes off Jesus? He had a momentary lapse in his faith. Amen. Once he did that, he allowed fear to come in, which robbed Peter of completing a wonderful miracle. Amen. So we have to understand that we have to consistently keep our eyes on Jesus, because the minute we take our eyes off, Satan is going to be there to steal, kill, or destroy us. Amen. So we have to be vigilant in what we do. Now, please go with me. You there? Let's go to 2 Timothy again, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He has not given us a spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind are all encased in one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Amen. See, the power here that Jesus gave us is the Greek word dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, which means divine ability. So God has given us divine ability to do his work. We need that supernatural ability because we are dealing with a supernatural enemy in Satan. There is no way a natural individual can have any success battling the supernatural. So God has provided assistance for us in the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete or parakletos. Paraclete is spelled P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E or parakletos, which is P-A-R-A-L-K-E-T-O-S. And that means to assist. Amen. Now, see, a sound mind does not mean someone who is just in a mental hospital. It means someone whose mind is fixed on the word of the living God. Amen. So when your mind is consistently fixed on the word of God, it's a sound mind. Your mind is not sound if you have your mind on anything other than God's plainly revealed word. See, once you fix your mind on the word of God and make it sound, the Spirit of God will energize your mind and give it the capability to operate in supernatural dimensions. In other words, he makes the impossible possible in your life. Amen. Otherwise, your mind will continue to operate in natural dimensions and be limited in his operations. That is because the natural world is a limited world. Amen. The natural world is a limited world. The supernatural realm, the spirit realm, by contrast, has no limits. That is why Paul tells us in Romans 12, go there please, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. This is what Paul tells us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. See, we have eternal victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to transform our minds, but you cannot do it just by willing your mind to be transformed, simply because you cannot do all that the Bible tells you to do solely by your natural process. You need supernatural help to go beyond being conformed to this world. You cannot do it on your own because the physical world is the only one you have ever known. Amen. This physical world is the only one we have known. And you are so conditioned to it that it is impossible for you to transcend it and move into the realm of the spirit without supernatural help. Now, that help comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, amen, who is the link, if you want to say, between the natural world we live in and the supernatural world of the spirit realm. Please go with me to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. And let's look at this. And we're going to read verse number 13. And it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the Spirit of truth is also the Holy Spirit. See, every promise God makes in the Bible belongs to the Christian. We thank God for his grace and his mercy and are determined in our hearts to live as children of God. As you learn to trust what he says in the Bible is true, you can expect to grow spiritually and learn what God's best is for your life. Even when the devil attempts to assault your mind with fear, remember that as a Christian, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You have the greater one in you, 1 John 4:4. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Philippians 4:13. Standing in faith on the promises God has made for you in his word. Remember that he made those promises for you and that he always honors his promises. You cannot help but have the victory, eternal victory in all things, no matter what may arise. In all things, remember that God has not given you the spirit of fear. So I'm just about finished for today's teaching, but please join us next week as we will finish this teaching on fear. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.